You're listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Striking Corner. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and this is episode 18 of our podcast. As always, I have my good friend, my sidekick in all things Muay Thai and kickboxing in this podcasting world and in the podcasting booth, all the way from New York, Mr. Vinny Scotto. What's up, Vin?
Hello. How's it going?
Well, man, Vin, everything's going really good. Crazy last couple of weeks. A lot of fights going on this weekend. We had a Joe Schilling fought in Bellator, actually lost a pretty, well, I think it was a pretty crappy decision. We also had your boy, Giorgio Petrosian. He fought against Enrico Kell, man. I heard he won. Are you happy about that?
Yeah, I am. It's good to see him back after, you know, it was his first fight since Glory in New York, the loss to Andy Risty.
I know, man. I remember we were actually supposed to go to that event. Remember, I was going to go to that event, but I got food poisoning and couldn't fly up there at the last minute. And Vinny was sitting in the press area, totally psyched to see Giorgio Petrosian, his idol, for the first time ever live. And lo and behold, Giorgio Petrosian gets knocked out by Andy Risty.
his second ever loss and first ever knockout.
Yeah. And you were there. And you were there for that one.
Fantastic.
Yeah. All right. So besides that, a lot of other fights going on. The Kunlun fights in China. Yatsen Klai fought Maruk Gregorian. Yatsen Klai also won that fight, just to continue on with his, you know, with his just complete dominant performances. One of our favorite fighters, Yatsen Klai. And then what else has been going on?
Well, I mean, you obviously have some big news that you neglected to mention.
Yes. I neglected to mention it. The Striking Corner will now have a third annoying host, and that is going to be none other than my son, Lucas Rivera, who was actually born past week on Monday, April 6th. He was born at 9:49 a.m., so I have a new addition to the family. And if you guys weren't annoyed enough by my podcast, I'm probably going to, you know, every once in a while have a mom just crying here so you guys can get even more bothered by it. But no, yeah, man, a big thing, really, really huge news for me, and very, very, very happy. Everything went out well. He was born really healthy. My wife is doing great. So, yeah, man, that's big news there. And then you actually, you know, going back to the fighting stuff, you were at Warriors Cup this weekend. Big fight, Justin Greskowitz, Eddie Martinez.
Yeah, actually, well, besides for that, there was a lot of Muay Thai in New York this weekend. You know, New York, New Jersey area. There was Victory on Friday night. There was Friday night fights on, obviously, Friday. And then on Saturday, there was Warriors Cup in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. But a lot of good fights, a lot of title fights, you know, all went well. I was not at Victory or Friday Night Fights, but I was at Warriors Cup, which was very nicely put on event by Chris Tran at Weapons 9. And I thought everything was just great. A lot of good fights. There was five title fights. All went well. I mean, it was all amateur except for the last fight with the main event, which was for WBC title, Justin Greskowitz versus Eddie Martinez from Satan. And it was a great fight, very beautiful fight, actually. Mm-hmm. So it was a very technical fight, very good display of Muay Thai. And Justin actually got the win on that fight, unanimous decision by the judges. It was, I guess, some people thought it was a bad decision. I personally thought it was the right decision. I thought that the scoring was correct, even down to, you know, the points that the judges gave. I thought it was a perfect decision. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much it.
Awesome. You know, like I said, Warriors Cup, you were mentioning Chris Tran. Just want to go out and say, man, a big fan of Chris Tran, one of the coolest, most down-to-earth, honest guys in the sport, doing a lot of big things over there in New York and in New Jersey, obviously, with his gym out there, and Warriors Cup, doing a lot of good things to get you know, really traditional, solid Muay Thai on display in New York, which if there's there's a lot of Muay Thai in New York already. So shout out to him for doing a great job and keeping up with the Warriors Cup. Really like that promotion, and Really love Chris Tran, a really good guy. And oh man, congrats to the Purple People Eater, Justin Greskowitz. Obviously, I've talked to him a while back on when I was doing some Muay Thai's Life Skype interviews and stuff like that. And he really cool guy. Another guy that's been in the sport for a long time and is one of the pioneers, I think, on the East Coast with a lot of been doing Muay Thai for a while. So I'm really glad he did well. I'm also a fan of Eddie Martinez, very good fighter as well. Congrats to Justin Greskowitz on his WBC title. And speaking of titles, Vinny, we have a huge guest this podcast. It's none other than the new featherweight Glory World Champion, Mr. Gabriel Varga. So really excited about having him on the show. And it looks like he is on. So we're going to get that started. And we will be back in 1 second with Mr. Gabriel Varga. All right. Hello, everybody. And we are here with the new featherweight, Glory Featherweight World Champion, Mr. Gabriel Varga. What's up, Gabriel?
Oh, you know, just feeling great and enjoying life right now, enjoying a break.
Oh, man, I can only imagine. You know, you just came off a huge win against Mousab Amrani at Glory 20 in Dubai. So, Gabriel, I want to basically get the feeling or ask you about how you felt when you got that title. I'm going to play something for you, and after it finishes, I want you to tell me how you felt at that moment when you heard these words, all right?
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, after 5 championship rounds, we go to the judges' scorecard. They score this bout 50-46, 48-47, and 49-46. A unanimous decision, all for your winner. And now, new Glory Featherweight Champion of the World, Gabriel Varga!
So, yeah, man. So, I mean, how did you feel at that moment?
It was basically, you know, I was a little not nervous, but you know, I've had one time now where the judges didn't agree with me. So as soon as I heard 50-46, I knew I was in the clear.
Yeah.
You know, I was just like, okay, there's the one judge that has to be for me, because I felt like I had to have won 3 or 4 rounds in that fight.
Yeah.
And it's just every time after a fight, it's like a wave of relief, just because there's been so much. You know, 10 weeks of training and lots of pressure and lots of mental preparation, and as soon as that announcement comes, it's just a flood of relief, and I just feel like I'm so relaxed and so on top of the world.
Yeah, I mean, and just hearing those words, I mean, when they tell you it's Gabriel Varga, you just won the world championship. I mean, are you I would say, let me just go out on the limb here, man. I'm an emotional dude. So basically, I think if that happened to me, I don't know, I'd probably like break down crying or something like that, because that's just the way I am. I mean, did you feel any of that? Was there, you know, be honest with us, was there any crying afterwards? Were you that excited? I mean, how do you deal with that sort of emotion? I mean, it's something you've been working so, I mean, we've talked, like I was telling you, talking a little bit off air, we've talked maybe the third time now that we've discussed this, and to see your progression has been really an amazing thing in the fighting sport. So to know that you worked so hard for something, man, and to finally achieve it, and this is a huge stage, man. This is not just, you know, this is not just a I would say like a regional title. I mean, this is something that's on TV, you're in Dubai, it's a huge event. I mean, how did that feel, man?
I've had a lot of people ask me that, and I think everybody's expecting it, you know, it's the happiest moment of my life kind of answer, but it honestly wasn't like that. And the reason was, I always do so much preparation beforehand mentally, just going through that moment over and over, mm-hmm. that by the time it hits, I've almost come to expect it. Mm-hmm. The only thing that I'm, like I said, I'm a little nervous of is that the judges make a mistake or something like that. So once I know that they didn't make the mistake, I'm relieved and I'm happy, but I've been expecting it. So I didn't end up having, you know, emotional tears or anything. I kind of had a split second there where I just dropped to my knees and I was like, oh, thank you. It's over. I did it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I just went, okay, it's happened. I did it. And we just went back, you know, a couple hugs, and let's just go watch the rest of the event. And yeah, it wasn't too spectacular in that sense.
Yeah,
you know, I didn't break down by any means.
Yeah. I guess everybody's kind of kind of expecting that sort of Hollywood mm-hmm. ending, you know?
Yeah. And it just, the thing is, you know, you just, I already believed that it was going to happen. So it wasn't a shock. It was just, for me, what was supposed to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now, you know, being that you said that, you know, you didn't have this Hollywood reaction or any tears or anything like that, you have other titles that you've won. Now, they were obviously on a smaller scale. They weren't as big as Glory. Do you feel that this means more to you than the other titles, or is it just all kind of going to the same place?
That's a good question. I mean, obviously this one, like Eric was saying, is the title to have. So every time I look at the belt, I walk by it, I'm just going, oh, I actually have that belt now. And that sort of is a bit of a shock to me. Just every time I walk in my room and I just see it, I go, oh, really, I still have that. But all those other belts, at the time when I fought for them, they meant so much to me. You know, when I fought for my amateur world titles, I wasn't planning on going any further, really. I was just going, ah, I'm going to get these, and I'm going to go back to school. And that was everything. You know, that, so it was very good preparation, sort of build up, every title I've had. I wasn't really planning on going further, and I had so much pressure on myself to get the win. So those were very, very good building blocks, and they were very important to me. But at the end of the day, this Glory belt is really the best you can do. So, yeah, I mean, that's all I can ask for now. Just hold on to this belt and enjoy it.
Definitely, man. You gotta enjoy that. So actually, before we go into a little bit more about the fight and, you know, how when facing off with Mustafa Mirani for this title, talk to me about your experiences, obviously, in Dubai. I mean, I know you've traveled all over the world. This is something that I guess that interests me, you know, on, it's just that, you know, Dubai is this place where everybody, it's sort of fantastic spot in the world where it's pretty much super opulent. There's like money, there is no issue. Money is no issue. It's just over the top craziness, you know. I mean, how was it? I mean, talk to us a little bit about your experience going there. And did you see anything that just, you know, totally, you know, blew your mind? I mean, how was the audience? I mean, are they huge fight fans? I mean, how did that all work?
Dubai was interesting. It was somewhere that before I went, it wasn't really somewhere where I really wanted to go. Like, I honestly wouldn't have paid to go out of my own pocket. Mm-hmm. But I was very interested because you hear such extravagant stories about the place and just how amazing it is. Mm-hmm. So we took advantage of it and we booked our trip for an extra. We didn't leave until 4 days after the fight. You know, mm-hmm. We're just going, we're there. I probably won't go back, most likely. We might as well stay for a little while and enjoy it, yeah. Right? So we did all that, and honestly, but after about 2 days, we were kind of like, you know, we didn't need the full 4 days here. We're ready to go. It's an interesting city, but not for me and my little crew who was there. Like you said, very, very pricey. You know, yeah, you just want a Glory title, but it doesn't make you a rich man by any means, so... We're all just kind of walking around, and you know, if you want to go up the tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa,
yeah,
it's expensive. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was over $100 to get up to the top.
Yeah,
and you want to go into the aquarium, it's like $50, and you start doing all these things, and you could go through thousands of dollars a day.
Yeah,
just sightseeing. But you know, at the same time, it was just very nice walking around. That's what we did a lot of. We just enjoyed the sights and saw the city on foot. That didn't cost anything, and because Dubai is just so amazing in their architecture, you can walk around and just appreciate it from that aspect.
Yeah. And how was the crowd? I mean, were they big fight fans? How did you feel that the environment was, the energy when it came to fight day and all that?
The energy in the stadium, I thought it could have been a little bit better. Like, the actual crowd that was there were quite loud, but the venue wasn't sold out by any means. Mm-hmm. As I understand, Dubai is, they love martial arts, but they're a little bit more into jiu-jitsu, or is it, I can't remember, the Abu Dhabi or something like that.
ADCC, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so... you know, it wasn't a sold out venue, but the people who were there, I don't know what, if it was like 60 or 70% capacity, something like that. Mm-hmm. They were quite lively, which was nice.
Okay, cool. Very cool. All right. So let's go into the fight with Mossab. So watching the fight, you know, Gabe, at the first few rounds, you can definitely tell, I mean, Mossab is a guy, you know, Dutch style, Dutch Moroccan fighter. It seems like he was throwing a lot of power, was throwing a lot of bombs. I mean, he was going over and over for that overhand, for that, you know, that overhand left or that overhand right of his. And basically, he was trying to, it seemed like he was trying to catch you, KO you, and then, you know, work those big shots and try to throw bombs to the body. He was working a lot of that in the first few rounds. What was your strategy going in? I mean, were you trying to figure out, you used your length really well. You were trying to avoid his power, trying to keep him at bay, to not get, so that none of those shots would really pay dividends for him. And I felt like he was, in a lot of ways, when watching the fight, it seems like he was going for broke very early in the fight. I mean, was that a strategy of yours to sort of drag it out? Because you kind of felt like, if I drag this out longer, I'm definitely going to be able to outpoint this guy. I mean, how did you feel going in?
Yeah, definitely. We watched his videos, and he's an interesting guy to prepare for, because you can watch one video and he fights southpaw. Next video, he's orthodox. Another video, he's switching constantly in his stance. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he'd fight technically. Sometimes you'd see him in a fight where he just comes out and brawls. But we prepared for him coming to brawl. We just went, okay, if he wants to do a technical fight with me, that works in my advantage. We figured he would come out and throw hard and go for a KO. Because we did watch him and went, okay, this guy generally tires down in about the last minute or two of the third round. You can see him breathing heavy. So I figured if we got to the fourth or fifth round, that would be my territory. Mm-hmm. It's funny that you said that you say, I did the length game and kept him at distance, because I didn't do that nearly as much as we were planning. But uh-huh. as soon as the fight starts and somebody starts to fight with me, I just want to get back in there. And I tried to be decently smart and not stand right in the pocket, but I really should have been jabbing and front kicking a lot more. But it doesn't make for an exciting fight necessarily. And although I'm not there to strictly just put on a fight for the crowd, you know, winning comes first. Mm-hmm. I still get passionate when I'm in there and really actually want to fight.
Well, I mean, and especially with a guy like Musab, I mean, it's not like he's going to let you play that game as much, because he's definitely always, like during the fight, he's just always trying to push forward, always trying to bang. And I guess the fighter in you, as you're saying, there's a point where you're just like, all right, well, if this guy wants to go, we're going to go, you know? So I'm pretty sure that sort of happens.
So, yeah, it went pretty much according to how I thought it would. You know, I knew he would be throwing hard. I knew he would tire down eventually. He landed some good body shots in the first round. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think he'd be able to land them the way he did. And as soon as I came back after the first round, I had my corner just say, you don't put your back against the ropes again in this fight. I said, mm-hmm. You know, you don't stand there, you get in the middle of the ring, and he's not going to be able to throw the body shots as much. So I tried to make that adjustment. Mm-hmm. His body shots were good, but I'm fortunate. You know, I hurt my back for quite a while. About a year ago, I was out for 4 or 5 months. And then previous to that, I missed about another year from a back injury from just when I was younger, just doing so many sit-ups. I don't know why. I just went, I want a six-pack and I never want to get hurt in the body. And I was doing 400 or 500 sit-ups a day, but with nothing on, no counterbalancing, like nothing for my back to strengthen, no core work. But I think it's paid dividends because, you know, he came up to me after the fight and shook my hand and said, good fight. And he said, you know, I'm going to hit you with some hard body shots. I must have hurt you. And I just sort of smiled at him and said, they were good and they were hard. You didn't hurt me. You know, he hit me and I went, oh, that's hard. And he hit me again and again. I went, okay, you know, I don't want to let him land these because it's gonna probably hurt me a little bit in the fourth and fifth round. Mm-hmm. But no, he didn't hurt me to the body. And that was the one thing I wasn't expecting. I wasn't expecting him to land. And if he did land, I thought it would hurt me because he's put down Liam with one shot, Liam Harrison, who's a great fighter. Mm-hmm. So I figured this guy must hit hard, and I've never been hit to the body like him, but no, it didn't hurt. So that was surprising to me too. Mm-hmm.
So going back to the fans being in Dubai, did you feel that, you know, him being of Moroccan descent, that he kind of had a hometown advantage, that they were more, the fans were going more for him? Did you feel that way at all?
Yeah, I knew that he had a number of people coming out to support him. Like you said, he looks just more like a hometown boy, mm-hmm. even though he's not, I guess, really. He's not from there or anything. And then I knew he might have the edge also in the eyes of the Glory executives. You know, he's been around for years. I was just looking up his record again the other day, and he was fighting, I can't remember who it was back in 2005. I think it was Jordan Watson. Back in 2005, I hadn't even fought yet, and he was fighting these big names. So, you know, he's somebody that knows a lot of the guys at Glory. You know, I saw the executives giving him hugs before the fight and stuff. So I knew if I was going to go in there and win this, I had to make sure that I really won it. If it was close, like really, really close, I figured that he might get the little advantage just because, you know, he knows people and he's been around for a long time and he was probably the favorite to win. So I just, made sure that I didn't leave it to the judges, you know, not a close fight at least.
Yeah, yeah. No, because, I mean, yeah, I'm like you were just talking, mentioning his record. And, you know, looking here at his record, he's actually fought. It's pretty amazing, man, because he's fought a who's who of incredible fighters. You know, I mean, we're talking Bovi, Anouad Kassamrit, Liam Harrison, Yuta Kubo, Fabio Pinca, Chibin Lim. I mean, he's got so many solid guys on his resume, and you know, all that experience is. That's the funny thing, man, because you're saying, you know, the Glory executive is my favorite. You don't want to leave it in the hand of the judges, but I also think it's sort of admirable in the sense that you fought a guy with. That's been in the ring with so many hard guys, man. So many tough guys. And you were able to go in there and would not, you know, your record is probably not even as half as many fights as he has. And you did towards, I mean, I mean, the first two rounds, I think it's back and forth a little bit, but 3, 4, and 5, I mean, you started to comfortably outpoint this guy, you know? So that's, yeah. it's just amazing because you look at these guys who have had this amazing track record. And, you know, here's Gabriel Varga, like we've talked about like 2 or 3 times that we've discussed that you were having trouble finding fights and you were fighting pretty much locally in the U.S., I mean, in the U.S. and in Canada and occasionally overseas. And then, boom, you know, you've got, you know, popped up into the circuit and fighting these big guys, man, and you're winning these fights. So it's, you know, it's a kudos to you there, man.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, he's really, people were asking me like before the fight, how important is this belt to you and what does it mean? And I was going, you know, I'm not focusing on the belt because that's just something extra after the fight. I was focusing on beating him because he's what I had to get through, and focusing on basically his accomplishments after I beat him will help elevate me as a fighter. Because like you said, he's done so much and he has so much recognition. And he's beaten so many guys, and I won't be able to fight all the guys that he's fought. You know, I just don't fight often enough. I don't get enough offers. I'm never going to be able to probably even match how many fights he has now. He has more than double that I have. And even if I fight, you know, 4 times a year for the next 6 years, I still won't match him. Mm-hmm. But beating somebody like that just makes it so much better because it just everybody becomes aware. You know, oh, okay, somebody beat Mosab. Oh, who's this guy? And then. I've just been getting, I think I've had 3 offers in the last 2 or 3 days from just other promotions to fight, and that never happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So, yeah, I mean, you know, talking about that, like in our other conversations, when I first did an interview with you and spoke with your father, Keith, and then we did another interview with when we first started out the Striking Corner, and you were just getting started. It was like you just got the offer from Glory at that time. You had fought in K1. You had beaten Lord Silla. You know, there was so many different offers coming out. But I remember, man, back in the day, we always used to talk about it. It was that Gabriel Varga always perpetually flying under the radar. Not many people knew, you know, a lot of people knew you when you fought. And they were like, man, who is this guy? But a lot of people just didn't know, or they weren't putting you on the cards because part of it could have been like they did not want to deal with you because they knew you were tough. They didn't want this guy from the outside coming in and beating the hometown boy. You faced the controversial decisions, you know, back in the day on the Take On 8-man tournament. You've had all these things, man. You had difficulty finding fights for so long. And I think a lot of it was a testament to, which is something that I really like about you, Gabe, is that you've always been sort of the consummate martial artist, man. You know, you are very honorable. You are the quiet warrior comes to mind. You're not one of these guys that we see a lot nowadays with MMA and sometimes in Glory as well. You know, there's a lot of, you know, what we say, the talking shit, you know, trying to talk smack, build up the game, you know, getting on social media and battling back and forth. You've never been the guy that steps into that. So it might've been, I don't know if that was a detriment at first to build your career, but it's like, you've always allowed you're fighting to do the talking, and it's really beautiful because your fighting has been what's been doing the talking for you and has gotten you to this point. And now look at where it's gotten you. You are the Glory featherweight world champion. I mean, you are the top, basically the cream of the crop right now, in the kickboxing world at featherweight. So I mean, have you always tried to stick to that? I mean, I know you. The last time we talked, you were talking about how you wanted to start working a little bit more in social media, and you've been doing that thing. But it doesn't seem like that was ever your thing. You know, you've always kind of just, I'm going to go in there and train, and that's what I love to do. I don't need to get involved with all this extracurricular.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I don't really enjoy the social media from any aspect of you know, having to badmouth anybody or create hype. I do recognize that, you know, it's important to get more fans and all that on the social media. But really, yeah, at the end of the day, like you said, I prefer to train and show up and put on a good fight and do everything just, you know, the way we were brought up as martial artists. You know, it's just, it's quiet, it's humble. Unfortunately, that doesn't always sell tickets. So, you know, I do have to push a little harder now in certain aspects just to make sure I get my name out a little bit more. Motivate Glory to get me on cards every, you know, 3-4 months, so I'm mm-hmm. a little bit more active, so I don't have these year or close to year gaps anymore.
Yeah,
but really, yeah, it's just who I am. I just enjoy having a quiet existence, sort of.
Yeah, and speaking of quiet existence, I know Vinny was very interested in asking you. I mean, we know that you train you know, in a small spot, basically, I think it's Studio 4 Athletics, correct? Is where your gym is located.
Yeah.
You know, you have your brothers work with you, Jacob and Aaron, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then are you still working with the same pad holder, Craig McWilliam, as well?
Yeah, he's really the guy who puts in the time with me.
Okay.
You know, I give credit to a number of other people too, but he's the guy that is there 2 or 3 days a week and is actually holding pads for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I haven't trained with Alin much from Ontario, House of Champions, but you know, he came all the way to Dubai just to help corner me. And it's just nice having a good crew there, because, you know, I have my brother who's great at giving me advice, and same with Craig, but neither of them are experienced in the corner, and they don't really know how to wrap hands like Alin.
Mm-hmm.
So just having him there for those little extra aspects is important, I think.
Mm-hmm. So when you spar, I mean, I know Vinny was asking that. When you spar, go ahead, Vin. I think you wanted to ask.
Are your brothers your main sparring partners?
just the one of them, the one who's a boxer. He's okay. 7 years younger than me, and he's amazing. He's out in Ontario right now training with Lennox Lewis's amateur coach,
mm-hmm.
The guy who actually helped Lennox Lewis get the gold medal and was in his corner for that. So my brother's out training with him. So I actually flew my brother back for 2 weeks just before the fight to come and box with me. And I'll tell you what, boxing with him was a lot scarier than boxing with Mosab. A lot scarier. I mean, a different weight class. He's more like a guy who walks around at 175, 180. So he's naturally going to hit harder, but he hits harder than most guys who are his weight anyway. And the training he's been doing out there has made it difficult to spar with. And yeah, it's just it's a handful, and it's good to have him. I have some other local guys in town who are good, but, you know, aren't world class level. But it's still beneficial to have other guys to spar with. And then of course Josh Johnsey from Glory, who is one of my main sparring partners now.
Oh, okay, okay.
How does it feel to get to punch your brother in the face?
I wish I had other guys to spar with, you know, other guys who are as good as him, because I don't really enjoy it. You know, we always try and start off really light, and then eventually it picks up, and sometimes we have headgear on, sometimes we don't. And I was sparring with him last time, and I caught him in the jaw, and, you know, when your jaw kind of shifts and it locks up and you can't bite down straight, and he was saying that was happening, and I just felt bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's hit me in the head a couple of times, and I'm just going, oh, this is kind of weird, you know, sparring this hard with your brother, somebody that you love, but, you know, it benefits both of us, and, yeah, it's great to just sort of have somebody, because we're both benefiting, right? You know, he's getting better training with me over the years, and now that he's good and he's super challenging to box, he's benefiting me. So
yeah
it's pretty fun.
is he fighting like at all, or like professionally, amateur? Is he fighting at all competitively, or is he just doing
He's amateur boxer. He started, I want to say, only fighting about 3 or 4 years ago as an amateur boxer. Before that, he just did a little kickboxing, but didn't really like it as much. so ended up transitioning after a 2 year break, and he has, I think, 35 fights now. He has more than I do in 2 or 3 years. And, yeah, he's fighting at the national level now. So his goal is to get to the Commonwealth or, possibly Olympic Games, but ultimately he does want to go pro. So, but he's only 22, so he has lots of time.
So is this your younger brother is Jacob or
Aaron? Yes, Jacob.
Okay, Jacob.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the one that's boxing, Jacob.
That is, yeah.
Okay, okay. All right, man. So moving on from there, what is next for you? I mean, I know, okay, so there's a name in there because you lost to him, which is Yuta Kubo, but then Mousab Amrani beat him as well. So I guess that's how it kind of positioned both of you to clash for the title. What's next? I mean, is Yuta Kubo the next step for him to challenge that for that title? I mean, have they told you what's going to be happening? I mean,
they haven't, but I've given indications in other interviews and talked to them after really, really quick and just said, you know, I hope you guys are going to help develop this division a little bit more, because it seems like, you know, they've been doing a nice job focusing on me and giving Mousab some fights. Mm-hmm. But other than that, there haven't really been anybody else in the division. And, you know, Mousab and I sure can have a rematch, but we can't hold a division up to just the two of us for the next couple of years. So
yeah, yeah.
I told them that what I'd like to see is the featherweight contender tournament, because Kubo, yes, even though I have the loss to him, he's lost to Nuri since then. He lost to Amrani, and then he got KO'd in the K1 again event against a Thai fighter. So I feel like, you know, maybe he has to just win a contender tournament or get some wins down before he gets just an automatic belt shot. So yeah, there's some guys who are good, and just like you know, like Nicky Holtzkin just had to get his spot back for a title shot in the contender tournament. So you know, I had to win a four-man last year, so I think I love the format. Everybody who's going to do title fights win the tournament.
Yeah, so I definitely like that too. I mean, that seems like you're right. That seems like probably would be the next logical progression of how Glory is doing things. They're doing these contender tournaments to see, you know, like they just did with Simon Marcus, who's going to face off with Artem on May 8th. So yeah, man, I agree. I mean, I guess so. Who's in the mix right now that would be facing off, let's say, in that contender besides Yuta and? I mean, I know Liam Harrison was on Fighting for Glory. I don't know if he's still doing that as well. I mean, who else is on the list there?
I would like to see a couple of the guys that I've fought, honestly, on there. Like the Thai fighter Sitmon Chai, they had so much buildup around him when they first started. And, you know, he was a young guy. And it was not to sort of pat myself on the back, but that was a tough fight for him in Glory. You know, you're transitioning from full rules and then you get thrown against me and, this is just a great style for me. This is what I like. So, if he was back in the mix, I think he would do well. I know Shane Oblansky is maybe not the most technical fighter, but definitely a good brawler. So he could be back in there. Amrani maybe could be thrown back in the tournament if it's 2-3 months away and get another title shot if he wants it. Kubo, Nori, I think is going to be one of the, if it ever happens. And, I don't know if he's even fighting anymore, but if he is, I think him and I would have one of the best fights possible at our weight class. Just how quick he is and his the how clean his style is. I think we would just have a beautiful fight. It'd be nice to bring some other guys in, Liam or just other guys from around the world. It's such a talented weight class. Like I think one of the most talented ones. So just need a few more names in there.
Yeah, man. I mean, we definitely want to see you, Gabe. We definitely want to see you continue on your run. You're doing so many big things. I mean, speaking of which, you know, we didn't touch on that, but the fact that Canadian contingent is doing so well right now, whether it's in Glory or Muay Thai, I mean, you have such talented guys, especially right now in Glory. Joseph Altellini has the belt, and Simon Marcus has the shot to fight for against Artem Levin for that belt. You currently have the belt at featherweight. So there's just so much. I mean, the Canadians are doing so, so well. I mean, before we go, to sum up, why do you feel like the Canadians have just all of a sudden become this amazing powerhouse? I'm not going to say all of a sudden. I think you guys have always been around. And I mean, I know when I was fighting and going to tournaments, I was always, the guys that I was always worried about facing were any of the Canadian teams, you know. And why do you think that is? Why has, let's say, the United States taken so long to sort of adapt to or get big in Muay Thai and, you know, really start producing a lot of champions, while Canada has, such a long list of really, really talented knock muays and kickboxers?
I don't even know what the reason would be, honestly. I mean, like you said, the Canadian talent, and for that matter, the American talent, has always been there, I believe. Mm-hmm. It's just in the past, I don't think they were bringing over the best guys. You know, we the North Americans were having to fly in the best guys here. And, you know, they were getting some wins. They weren't getting some wins, but they were doing a pretty good job of, we weren't getting the opportunities internationally until Glory really started focusing on them. And just, being able to fight in Glory again and again and again and get that experience on the top stage, I think has just maybe boosted confidence in North America. Everybody, if anybody had any doubts as a fighter, the Japanese or the Thai fighters, the guys from Holland, you know, they're really good. Are we good enough to beat them? I think everybody knows now that yes, we can. Mm-hmm. And maybe any little doubts that people had before have been erased. And I don't even know if I'd say that Canada is in any better shape right now than America. We just happen to have a few guys who have managed to fight for titles. And if Simon does win, that'll be amazing because half the Glory champions will be Canadian. And that'll be something pretty special, especially how small our country is. But at the same time, you know, it could have been Schilling who had the title, and there's loads of other guys there down in the States who could be champions.
Yeah.
Just, you know, once Glory starts getting a few more cards on, they'll get the opportunities, and I think we'll see everybody in North America move up the rankings.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it's more evident than ever that, like you were saying before, they weren't fighting some of these top guys from Holland, and there was always this assumption that, you know, since these guys were fighting over there and Americans never faced them, then they were just at this other level that we couldn't touch. And now it's happening that they're bringing them over, and it's like, oh, well, wait, you know, our guys are beating them. Our guys are giving them a run for their money, you know. So definitely, man, I wish you nothing but continued success. I've talked to you so many times. I'm a huge fan. I love the way you basically present yourself to the world, the way you're very humble, you're a quiet warrior, but then you go in there, man, and you have this style that's just so beautiful to watch, and you're always crisp technique, and you're definitely doing big things in kickboxing, man. So I want to see you continue, and hopefully soon we'll see a contender tournament, so to see who's going to face you next. And congrats on your win, bro, and very happy for you. I don't know if you want to add anything there, the shout out to anybody, and we'll sum it up.
No, that's great. I just appreciate being on the podcast and having the opportunity to talk about everything, you know, just share my experiences and I already gave my shout outs to the guys who really helped me. So yeah, I just appreciate being on, guys. Thank you.
No worries, man. Thank you very much.
All right, Gabriel.
Perfect, guys. Thanks.
All right. So once again, we want to thank Gabriel Varga for taking time out of what I imagine is a busy schedule now that he is the new Glory featherweight world champion. Always good to talk to Gabriel Varga. Like I said, it's been like two or three times I've actually talked with him and sat down and talked to him. He is a really interesting guy, a total consummate martial artist, one of the one of the best kickboxers in the world, and really happy to have him on with us. So in conclusion, guys, you know, we want to let you know the Striking Corner, we are now the Striking Corner all across the board. The Striking Corner, you can find us on facebook.com/strikingcorner. The website has also been rebranded. I mean, the Facebook page has also been rebranded, The Striking Corner. We are on Instagram at Striking Corner. We are on Twitter at Striking Corner. So you guys can find us all across social media on Striking Corner, at Striking Corner. The website, www.strikingcorner.com. If you go right now, it's a splash page. If you go to muaythaislife.com, it's also the same splash page. That is, it's going to have all our most recent episodes, a little description of what we're doing. And we're currently working on a brand new website, which is going to be a lot more focused, obviously, on a podcast, which is where we're having our success and we really want to build on it. But it's also going to have, you know, all the articles and everything that you guys have come to expect from us here at the Striking Corner and Muay Thai is Life. Muay Thai is Life, like we said, is not going to go away completely. We're actually working on a couple new designs for some t-shirts. It's going to be our basically sort of our brand name, our t-shirt brand, and maybe some sweatsuit, maybe some sweaters and hoodies and some hats and stuff. So we're working on a couple new projects there. A lot of new things happening on the Striking Corner. We're really excited. So once again, Striking Corner all across the board, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and on the web at www.strikingcorner.com. You can contact me at eric@strikingcorner.com, and you can also contact Vinny at where?
Vinny@strikingcorner.com.
And that's Vinny with a Y, just in case you guys were asking. Vinny with a Y at strikingcorner.com. You guys can get in touch with us at any time. Also, make sure after we post up any of our podcast, either on Twitter or on Facebook, you know, shoot us a line. Tell us what you liked, what you didn't like. If you have any questions, you know, we're still working on that fan question segment. Send us any fan questions that you have or you would like to talk to us on the next podcast. We have some... what I hope we're working on right now is a very, very exciting guest for the next podcast, which will be in 2 weeks. So we can't wait to talk to you guys then. And that's about it, guys. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Striking Corner. We will be back soon.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner, your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news. Worldwide.